So this is just a little challenge that came from my devotional that I was doing personally. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to place it in there because I really believe that it kind of resounds with this whole idea of fearing not. And that God does not want us to walk in fear, but perfect love casts out all fear. For I did not, Timothy, in that we read in Timothy, give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And so this morning, I want to talk about fear not, and specifically, I want to talk about the fear of what God is asking me to do. The fear of what God is asking you to do. Today, we're starting this new series, and over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the different times that the angels appear during the Christmas story. You're going to notice the very first the angel beings, they showed up, they said this every single time. They said, fear not. Today, I want to look at the story when the angel appeared to the teenager, the virgin girl named Mary. We're going to look at Joseph. We're going to look at when the shepherds. We're going to look at that stuff when we get ahead. But today, I want to focus in on Mary. I want to talk to you about the fear of what God has planned for us. Because I believe there's a lot of people that sometimes will treat God like they treat the annoying person that always wants something from them. Have you ever had one of those type of people in your life? You know when they call, they're always calling me for something. They show up, hi, how are you doing? They're always going to come and ask me for something. And sometimes we treat God in the same way as that annoying person. We just kind of start pulling ourselves away for fear of what he might ask from us. I don't know if you have anyone like that in your life, but sometimes there are those people. Or maybe you see them out in public, and there's old so-and-so. You don't point them out, but you kind of avoid them. Sometimes we do that with Holy Spirit. Bathroom breaks happen the most when Holy Spirit's moving in a service. Amen? It's true. It is true, right? You know, Holy Spirit does things and we get uncomfortable because we don't know what he's going to ask us. And what if he asked me to do something I don't want to do or ask something that's beyond me? How do I handle that? Sometimes there's a sense of fear of what if I give all to him and then life doesn't go the way I want it to go? That fear can overwhelm us and can overtake us. But fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is its faith in itself. It's just building a faith in something that's not true or something that's bad or something that's, you know, that we almost build this faith in it, that it's bigger than what God could do. And we need to come back to that part of the what ifs, right? That's the fear of that faith that we build into these what ifs. For example, a lot of people say, well, fear is the absence of faith. I don't believe that's true. I think fear is more than that, but fear is actually faith in itself. It's faith in the wrong things. You could say fear is placing your faith in the what ifs. What if someone I love gets cancer? What if I lose my job? What if someone I want to get married and no one wants to marry me? What if I marry someone that's really not nice? The what ifs, the fear that comes in there, and fear builds a faith around that. That causes us to get paralyzed, causes us not to move forward because we're always, if I take this step, then maybe I won't have enough. If I do what God wants here, then maybe I'm going to be so tired I can't do the stuff I need to do. Maybe if I give it all, I'll lose everything. I remember one time my wife was going through a season in her life and we were just going through some tough things. And I remember she didn't come back when she said she would come back, and it was around like 2 o'clock, and we're now 10:30, 11 at night, and the devil started putting thoughts in my head, she got in an accident, and she's dead. That's why she hasn't called. That's why you don't know. And all of a sudden, my heart start racing, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, what do I do, what do I do? And then it was like the God just started speaking in my heart, wait a second. Why are you running down this road when you don't even know what you're talking about? Okay, all you know is she's late. But you don't have a clue whether she was in an accident or not. Why are you allowing that what if, that fear to rise in and now all of a sudden shape your whole thinking and ruin your day? And I began, I said, okay, God, I don't know what's going on, but I just bless her. I just cover her, Lord. She probably just got distracted with someone. And I left it there. And within 10, 15 minutes, she drove in and walked in and said, oh, yeah, I decided to go for a drive. And I ended up in Kenora, which is like 3.5 hours away. And then I met someone. And then we had supper together. And it was just like, we just had such a good time. And they were talking about God and just his goodness. And here I'm thinking at home, oh my goodness, she went off the road because it was kind of slippery and wintry out, and oh man, she's maybe dead in a ditch or what, and the devil was just throwing all these thoughts. Fear builds a faith around the what ifs. The good news is, though, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us of love, power, and a sound mind. Today I want to talk about that. What is it that we're often afraid? And why is it that we're often afraid of God's plans? There could be a lot of answers to the question, but I want to give you two based off the story of Mary that I see, and I want to draw them out. The first, if you're taking some notes, you can write it down, it'll come up and behind us, is God's interpretations. Sorry, God's interruptions are often inconvenient. Often inconvenient. When God interrupts us, his interruptions are often inconvenient to us. He doesn't always, when he asks us something, it doesn't always fit in what we want, does it? Or in the way that we're thinking, or in the neat package that we're looking at for. Oh, well, come on, we all have boxes. Church should be this way. A family unit should be this way. A young man should act this way. A young woman should dress this way. We all have our boxes. And sometimes when God all of a sudden drops something in the heart and he says, hey, I'm moving, I'm doing something, all of a sudden those boxes go right out. When we're in church, we're prim and proper and everything's together, but Dave Adams, a couple Sunday nights ago, that wasn't so prim and proper, was it? Right? You know, God just poured his spirit upon Dave Adams, and laughter just came right from his very gut and just started to come out, and he just could not hold it back. And he just began to laugh and laugh and laugh as God just interrupted. And it was a bit inconvenient to how we should be in church. You know, everything should be just right. God often interrupts, and his interruptions are inconvenient. In fact, as we look into the story of Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 29, we begin to see Mary, who got interrupted by God. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, she sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. I want to just look at the video here, just for a moment.
Thank you.
Sometimes we forget that Mary was just an average teenager. She's just a young woman. Sometimes we forget we've elevated, you know, Mary so high that we forgot that she was ordinary like you and me. She had some great plans. If she was in modern day world, she'd be on Pinterest looking at just how the wedding planning could go. So excited at the heartthrob of Joseph. And oh, he's asked me. I can't wait for that day. Oh man, this is so exciting. We're going to invite, we're not inviting them because they eat too much. And that, you know, and she's going through the list and she's checking everything out. Can you just imagine in the midst of her plans and everything's excitement and everything is going well. And then all of a sudden God shows up on the scene inconveniently and says, by the way, you're going to carry the Son of God. Well, I'm not married yet. You know, you can't have a baby outside of marriage. I mean, come on, that's even the Bible says that, God. And all of a sudden, he interrupts her Pinterest wedding. And he comes and all of a sudden says, you're going to bear the child, my son, Jesus, and he's going to be the savior of the world. Can you just imagine what's running through her mind? One at awe that an angel of God showed up. Then at awe that God's angel would say, you're highly favored. She was confused and wondering what's going on. But then all of a sudden he speaks to her and says, you're going to give birth to this child. You can imagine the excitement in that heat of the moment. Wow, God, you showed up. Wow, you called me favored. Wow, what? Oh, my goodness. And then all of a sudden, it starts to sink in. Man, I wonder what Joe's going to think about this. How do I tell him? What do I do? How many times have God come into our heart, into our lives, and all of a sudden he drops something into your heart, and then all of a sudden you got to turn around and go to your husband or your spouse and say, yeah, hon, I don't know quite, but I feel like God's really put in my heart that, you know, we should give our car. We should, you know, buy this for someone. We should pack up and we need to go across the world and help another group of people. You know, we should, you know, whatever it might be. These radical things that God has prepared in advance for us. Here's Mary in this moment. I don't know about you, but let's just pause for a moment here, and you'll have to flick a few times for me, Dave, but just flick once to bring up when we think of angels. I went on a quest for a time because I was kind of getting tired of fat babies with wings. Oh, I know Valentine's comes around and Cupid, that's about all we know about angels. But I'm telling you, when the Bible talks about angels, if a fat baby with wings came, no one's falling down as if face dead. They're going to, oh, isn't he cute? Oh. That's not what an angel looks like. Maybe some are here today and you've seen an angel. And you know better than me because I haven't seen one. But when I start looking and that at it, I start seeing some different things. And all of a sudden, I see something strong. I see something powerful. And that I see a warrior. You know, I see something that, you know, would do God's bidding and that nothing could stop, nothing could hinder. I mean, these are bad images. This is the best images I could find because, you know, who's got a perfect picture of what an angel looks like. But in that part is I just feel like God is just trying to say, wait a second here. We've got to grasp this story. Sometimes we breeze by through the things in Scripture. We read it, oh, well, you know, an angel appeared, okay, you know, and this and that. No. We're talking an angel of God. That at one swipe, at one thing, a whole army could be gone. I mean, angels, that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother time to preach on. And that just what they do and at God's bidding. They're not at your bidding and my bidding. They're at his bidding. They're his angels. Oh, we all have our guardian angels. I'm on my ninth, by the way. And that if I shared all the testimony, why each one has probably been beat up and put in a hospital because of all the things in my life. But in that part is they're not ours. They're his. And they're awesome beings, powerful. And he's sent them to guide us, to protect us, to answer, bring answers to us, to release things to us. God is awesome. He's powerful. So when we get this picture of this teenage girl and this angel showing up, it's not a fat baby with wings. It's one of the awesome beings that God had sent to let her know that she was highly favored, that God is thinking about her, and he's thinking about you. As we go back to the story, chances are, you know, we don't quite know how old she was, but, you know, doing a study and looking into it, most would say she was probably around 14 or 15 years old at the time. And we know that because in her culture, once a girl would hit puberty, shortly after that, she'd be promised or betrothed to be married. When we get inside of her mind and we start walking through things, we start to learn some different things in there that would be really hard. You know, in her planning and her future and what's going, and now all of that is being interrupted. If we can learn something from this situation, we'll learn simply this. The very important principle, and that for us to understand, is what we call interruptions, God often calls invitations. Inconvenience is really what he calls invitation. I want to invite you into something bigger than you. I wanted to invite you into something you can't fathom right now, but if you'll trust me, and that it will change your family, it will change your workplace, it will change those around you. Often what we call interruptions is really simply an invitation from God, calling us into something greater, calling us into something that's beyond ourselves, that would take a faith of this impossible, that man, if God, you don't show up, this is falling flat down. But I just feel in my heart you've spoken it, and therefore I believe it, and I'm just stepping out in it. And then God shows himself, and all around say, whoa, I know you, that could not have been, how did that ever happen? And you say, because he still lives. He still is alive, and he is still well. The angel of the Lord appears to this girl who has her life planned out and says, I've got something different for you. What does the angel say in verse 30? The King James Version says, fear not. New Living Translation says, do not be afraid. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God. Don't be afraid, Mary. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God. In Luke 1, verse 30. You're going to find, though, favor isn't exactly what you thought it was going to be. Why we're so oftenly afraid of God's plans? His number one is his interruptions are often inconvenient. And number two is because God's purpose is often different than our plans. And we get afraid of it. What has God done to ask of me? Because it's inconvenient and it's often different than what our plans are. But if we pause long enough to actually believe that he has good things in store for us, then we can help start to rearrange our thinking. God's purpose is often different than ours. In verse 31 to 33, the angel reveals God's purpose for this young girl and says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestors David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow. I want to give birth to the Son of God? Wow. Think about it. God has plans to bless you. He has plans to give you a hope and a future, Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. Not to harm you. He will move. He will rearrange with his might and his power. And he will bring invitations into your life and to mine, if we'll allow him. But from his perspective, it's an invitation, not an interruption. From his perspective, and that it's not a plan that is throwing you off or is going to rob you. How many times have we heard that from young people growing up in church? Oh man, I don't know if I want to really follow God because he's a joy killer. He takes all the party out of life. He robs us from every good thing. Like, man, you know, we can't enjoy all these things that all of our friends enjoy, and they seem to be happy, you know, because he says it's not good for us. And so, man, like, that's a bummer. And we can come into this part, and we can bid into this area where we allow these thoughts to move that somehow God is the cosmic killjoy. Why? Because we start to think that his invitations are actually interruptions. We start to think that his plans for us aren't really good. We've got better ones. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin, in Luke 1:34. It's impossible. It's absurd. There's no way this is going to take place. And there will be a time, I promise, if you haven't had it already, for all of us who follow Christ, that God is going to interrupt or invite us to something very different than we thought. His purpose is going to be different than your plan and my plan, and he's going to ask us to have faith to actually believe that it could take place. You're going to look at it and say, I don't see how that is possible. I don't see, God, how you're asking me to forgive someone after what they've done to me. It's impossible, and I can't forgive. Or God, I don't know how you're asking me to trust you to be so generous when I don't even have very much right now. To trust you, and you're going to give back, you're going to take care, you're going to provide for me. Man, I got to take care of myself. That's the world we live in. God, I don't believe that you could ever heal my marriage. God, how in the world could you ever reconcile this relationship with one of my children? After what they said, after what I did, it's broken, it's gone forever. God, there's no way that you could heal this person that I love. I mean, the doctors have said that you might as well prepare for the end because there's no hope. And that's what we see with Mary when she says, is it possible? There's no way. And then in verse 35 to 37, the angel replies, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. And verse 37, the angel echoes out, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with him. I want to ask you very simply, what is God asking you to do or to believe in this season ahead? He's always speaking. So what is he asking you to do or to believe? And if he's asking you to do something that you could do in your own strength, that you have already the means to be able to accomplish, then maybe it's a little smaller than what he has really planned for you. And just ask him, God, what do you want me to step out in faith? What is it going to be you want me to do that's bigger than me? Something that's beyond what I feel that I could do on my own, because I'm in need of you. Some of you might be able to answer immediately. You already know what God's been asking of you, and maybe you've just been saying no. Or, I don't know, that's absurd, that's impossible. And maybe you've been resisting. Others, you, maybe it takes a few moments, a few days, or some time to actually pray into and say, God, what do you have for me in this season? It's got to be more than just waking up in the morning, having a coffee, going to work, and that coming home, getting some food, taking care of everything, going to bed, getting up and coffee, then coming up on Sunday morning, coming out to church, doing, you know, what God asks us to do on Sunday, and then going home and going back to the same thing again. Life has got to be more than that. What is it that you're asking? Why me? Why you in your workplace? Why you and your family? Why you with your spouse? God's put you together for purposes. What are your plans? What do you have that you are working on? Then when you get ready to respond, never forget this, and this is where I close. If God is asking you to take a step of faith, if you want to write this down, it'll come in behind me. Remember this, the outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. The outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is ours. How your spouse is going to take it, how others are going to take it, how everyone else is going to respond is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is simply one. Bow before him and say, yes, Lord, I will do it. If you can say, if you could use anyone, here I am. And then you take that step of faith and obedience and you do what he asked you to do. If God says, go and give $100 to someone and they go waste and blow it on some crazy thing, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it was never mine to give. The outcome is God's responsibility, not mine. We're so caught up with the outcome not turning the way that we had imagined it to be that we just clam and say, I'm not doing that again. And God is wanting to break us free of this. Fear of what God is asking us to do. Because the last time it didn't turn out the way that I thought it would. The last time I opened up and said yes, it was more of an interruption. And it definitely wasn't the same plans I had. But if you want to help change the world, if you're wanting to be a part of God's plan to bring reconciliation and redemption, we've got to be willing to get a little messy, be willing to step out in the uncomfortable areas and allow him to lead us. I really believe with all my heart the Lord is really trying to speak into Rockcliffe right now, and he's trying to speak into my life right now, and that in this season ahead, we've got to shake off the fears. We've got to shake off the boxes. We got to shake off the things that would hold us back. Ours is obedience. What's going to happen? How we're going to get there? Where it's going to come from? The outcome? It's in God's corner, not yours. Outcome is his responsibility. We're all called to do something. We're all called to take a step of faith and to obey. Can you change your spouse? No. But he can. He can. Can you heal your loved one? If I rub hard enough, maybe? No, we can't. But he can. Can you save that unsaved loved one? No. But he can. Our job is just obedience. What is God asking us to do? What is his word laid out for us? And when we walk in that obedience, and we just do what he asks us to do, the outcome is his. And he's only got good plans to prosper, give a hope and a future. Lord, would you renew our thinking? Would you renew our lives in this area of fear that has so controlled us, and we've packaged it in this neat little thing called religion? That, well, this is how we've always, this is what, you know, this is, no. What is Holy Spirit speaking? What is he speaking into your life? What is he asking of you today? And simply Mary ended this way, and this is how I end with what she said in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Lord, we are your servant. And everything you ask and say about us, Lord, may it come true. Lord, I pray and break off the lie that we're all to look the same and act the same and respond the same. It's in our uniqueness and differences as we come together as one that it shows your love. God, Lord, I pray we're not all meant to look and act the same way. Oh, there's things in the scripture that ask us to follow and do, but ultimately it's going to come out in different ways because some of us are funny, some of us aren't. Some of us, Lord, have an ability to really work with our hands and be able to do something. Others have this creativity as they just start thinking and doing stuff. It just comes out different. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that uniqueness that's inside of us, that we'll let our guards down. And Lord, we'll just simply let the outcome be yours. And we'll work on one thing this Christmas season. One thing. And that is just that obedience. That if you ask us to go to the right, Lord, then we're going to go to the right. If you say go left, even if it feels like an interruption, we're going to change and renew our mind that, man, you're just inviting me into something good. What do you want to do now, Lord? The fear of what God is asking of you. I just feel like God is saying it's time to let that one go. God, I just pray right now, Lord, in the sound of my voice, Lord, seems like a pin drop. I don't know. Maybe I hit something on a chord. I just feel like you're really wanting to speak this out, Lord. So, Lord, I just speak right now in the name of Jesus Christ. It's time to walk in the freedom that he's given you. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Free to enjoy life. Free to risk. Free to take the steps with excitement in your heart, knowing that if God asked, if God be for you, who and what could be against you? God, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would break that spirit of fear. That is not from you. That's of the devil. That's from him. For you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of sound mind. So renew a right spirit inside of us right now, Lord, that would break the fear. That would break the fear. That would break the fear in Jesus' name. And Lord, that you would release that love, that power, and a sound mind even now as I speak. So Lord, I just release that right now. And I pray that each and every one that wants to grab a hold of it, they'll reach out like I am, and I'm grabbing a hold of it right now, and I'm saying, yes, Lord, yes and amen, I want that. I want that. Forgive me for that fear that I've embraced that has caused me to think one way or to stay in a box or to try and pull everything in tight to control it so that nothing gets out of control. God, Lord, I just release things to you right now and I say, Lord, your will be done. Here am I, the Lord's servant. May what you have said, may it come to be. May it come to be. For I'm just a vessel. I'm just a jar of clay. And it's the treasure inside of me that has value and worth. So let your light shine bright and break that fear away, Lord. We think and we know and we believe you are a good, good Father and that you only have good things for us. Thank you for renewing our mind on that a few weeks ago. And as we come into today, we just release that. Not only in our heart, but now we release it into our actions of faith and trust that if you ask us to do something, it's only going to be good. And so, God, I give you thanks. I give you praise. I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. Lord, that this is active. This is alive. It's not just something said and done, but you're actually speaking into our hearts right now. And so, Lord, I pray that everyone that has an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. And as we embrace it, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in Owen Sound. Oh, God, every transformation you do in our life is meant to be released into our community. And Lord, may this week, Lord, may there be so many amazing stories of what you have done just because we're no longer going to be controlled by fear and that of what you're going to ask us, but we're just going to simply say yes and walk in obedience So God, I just thank you for each and every one. I bless them, Lord. I give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor, Lord, for there is no one else or nowhere else that we can turn to that has anything for us but you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen.